Welcome to the 106th edition of The Trending Show. My name is Mike Quackenbush, and usually I appear on this program in a role that my contract clearly defines as hapless foil. However, my co-hostess, Natalie Morris, has been taken captive by a group of Bolivian revolutionaries that have some murky rhetoric opposing our technologically decadent social mores and are using Natalie to make a statement. Until that passes, it's just you, me, and this cup of Starbucks. Ready, kids? On this podcast, Natalie Morris and I typically tell you what has been trending among Google searches and in Twitter discussions all week long. This episode covers the week ending Sunday, June the 9th. In my research, which was done quickly and carelessly, I became aware that on The Today Show, an evil doppelganger called Natalie Morales offers up a bit called What's Trending as filler between Al Roker's naps and gory unplanned incidents. What should you take away from this? Well, her Wikipedia page says that Natalie Morales' father, Mario Morales Jr., is a Bolivian revolutionary mired in murky rhetoric. Or at least it reads that way now that I am done editing it. Let the conspiracy theories begin. There was so much depressing news this week, I thought we'd start with something vapid instead. After all, that really is my forte. Miley Cyrus was Googled up a whole lot on Monday. That's because her new single, We Can't Stop, was released, which leads her forthcoming fourth studio album, due out later this year. This was really popular among the demographic that thinks Ryan Seacrest is of any importance whatsoever. Most everyone else was Googling up terms related to basketball or to hockey, which are two popular sports that appear on television. Apart from this, the best thing on Monday was the work of a 16-year-old hacker who found weaknesses in the code for Twitter's new Vine app. Vine allows you to upload videos of 6 seconds or less, which you can imagine is incredibly useful for documenting insect habits or watching heavy objects accelerated into Johnny Knoxville's naughty bits and capturing extremely brief orations. This industrious and otherwise bored Cleveland teen rickrolled Vine, which is the internet prank of misdirecting someone into watching Rick Astley's immortal 1987 music video hit, Never Gonna Give You Up. When I hear stories like this, my initial reaction is, why hasn't someone with something important to do harnessed this surplus? And by that I mean the surplus of time and the surplus of knowledge one must have to hack the Vine app for the purpose of posting a 210-second video to a service that disallows anything longer than 6 seconds. Why are you not working on something of any relevance or importance? Are you in high school? Why? You are already smarter than the team writing code for Vine. Dear head of Vine, fire your team and hire this kid from Cleveland. Anything else is a waste of talent and funds. It's enraging. As a quick seg here, I am not ashamed to say that I enjoy Rick Astley in a non-ironic internet meme kind of way, and I'm partial to Together Forever. Now then, members of the Oregon legislature, can we revisit that last rant about surplus of time and such? 2 years ago, the State House of Representatives in Oregon conspired to rickroll, well, the process of government. They cut up the lyrics from Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up and hid them in speeches they gave to the House. So later, when edited together, this bipartisan affair would reveal them reciting the lyrics to the song. I'm not making this up. The spliced together video, which auto-populates in your YouTube search bar by the time you type Oregon L.E., has been watched 1.5 million times. And this certainly tops their second most watched video from 2 years ago, where the Oregon legislature signs into law an aggressive redistricting plan. And that video has been watched just 49 times as of this morning. Now, I am all for having a sense of humor. I used to have one myself. And I do want to preface this by saying that I went most of my adult life without knowing there even was a state legislature. I always imagined that was an urban legend, like the story about the drowning guy in the Phil Collins concert, or the Chupacabra, or the Electoral College. Like, come on, that can't be real. But what are we doing here, Oregon House of Representatives? The same year you were rickrolling the legislature, 9,500 violent crimes were reported in your state. 6,000 aggravated assaults. Over 20,000 reported robberies. So on the day you were rickrolling, 26 violent crimes occurred. I cannot speak to your surplus of knowledge, elected officials of the Beaver State, but you clearly have a surplus of time on your hands. Worse than people like me or Cleveland's leading teen hacker, you have the power to do something. You are the people Oregonians chose to fix all the crap in their state. You spent money on your judiciously focus-grouped campaign billboards and leveraged monies to put your inattentive derrieres in cushy seats so that you could assure us all that you would never make us cry and you'd never say goodbye. There are two main blights on society as we know it. Number one, old people. Number two, young people. And let me now add a third, politicos. Let me pause from all this for a second to tell you, the Cobra Eye Radar Atom System is here, and I couldn't be happier about that. These last 3 years, I've come to discover that the most essential of all road trip equipment is the Eye Radar System. And with the brand new Atom, our great show's sponsors, Cobra, have really outdone themselves. Cobra Eye Radar is the most innovative, technologically advanced, and user-friendly detector device ever created. And now, drivers can rely on a community of detectors to be alerted accurately and reliably of safety and enforcement threats on roads all around them. It combines industry-leading radar and laser detection technology with the power of your smartphone. And in addition to being the detector's display and warning of upcoming red light and speed cameras, the connection with a smartphone gives iRadar users access to the entire iRadar community. This allows users to report and warn others about live police, caution areas, and photo enforcement areas. When an iRadar detects a radar or laser alert, it automatically shares this data with everyone in the community. iRadar users can now rely on a real-time network of detectors to give them superior situational awareness while they're driving. And it works with iPhone and Android devices. You can't beat that. No word on compatibility with Super Robot 4-point beta. You can see the latest and greatest from gadget gurus and long-standing show sponsors of us here at the Grizzly Productions Network when you visit them over at Cobra.com. Won't you take a minute and go do that for us? I would really appreciate it. And so would they. Thanks. On Tuesday, June the 4th, men the world over wanted to know who impregnated Jennifer Love Hewitt. And the answer is Brian Hallisey. Hallisey plays Hewitt's husband on the TV drama The Client List. Client List is shown on Lifetime, which is why I've never and will never watch it. Well, now life is imitating art, as the two are apparently engaged to be married, and she is pregnant with their first child. My advice to Brian: whoever got you cast in that role better get the Christmas gift to end all Christmas gifts from you this year. Wednesday, June 5th, at least over on Google, was nothing but talk of Paris Jackson. That's the teenage daughter of the late Michael Jackson. In what would become my least favorite trend this week, Paris apparently slit her wrist while talking to a counselor at a suicide prevention hotline, and emergency services were summoned to her house. She is okay, and the usual prepared statements from PR agents were read to the expected news outlets. Paris Jackson, who I do not know, but I'm sure is a lovely person, not only has to deal with brothers commonly known as Prince and Blanket for the rest of her life, but will also have to contend with the fact that her superstar father, who was a tiny bit odd, is and will probably always be the punchline to somebody's joke, despite having, to put it plainly, changed the modern world. She is most likely surrounded by people whose motives are at least a bit suspect: gold diggers, star collectors, assorted entourage wannabes, and worst of all, LaToya Jackson. She will be at least as misunderstood as her father was, if not more so, but without the power or resources to have her voice heard by the same audience. It must be enormously frustrating for her, a confused 15-year-old that will not enjoy for one single second what most of us consider to be a normal life. If you're listening, Paris, don't go on TMZ. You're above the bottom feeders out there. I'm rooting for you. What was hot on Thursday, other than the apple pie I got at McDrive-thru? Well, The Purge was hot. It's a low-budget film starring Ethan, What the Heck Happened to My Respectable Career, Hawk, and other people that appear on camera. The premise is that in the year 2022, the U.S. government allows a 12-hour period where all crime, even murder, is legal. This is their idea for everyone to blow off steam. Which means the dark undercurrent of the movie is that we don't have skee-ball in the future as our collective release. The movie apparently has some half-baked political underpinnings to it, but from what I gleaned, it's just about scary people in masks breaking into your home. The Today Show was searched over and over again on Thursday because a 70-something slit his own wrist while the show was live on the air. The man is in stable condition now, health-wise, but claims that the IRS has ruined his life. My advice to Pak Chung Mar is this. Just don't pay those guys. They are probably so busy taking care of corruption at the highest levels of commerce that guys like you could skate for a while, okay? Well, Friday, June 7th was National Donut Day, as if you didn't know. Well, no one told the staff of my son's daycare, as they erroneously held Donuts with Dad Day on Wednesday. The lure of free fried dough overruled my urge to protest. Friday was also a big day for jerks. That jerk, the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, died in prison. Ramirez, known to friends as Ricky, was best known to everyone else for being a mass murderer and serial rapist. In celebration of his passing, I ate a bear claw. Also searched up a lot was that jerk, Shannon Richardson. Who? Well, she's a bit actress that tried to blame her husband Nathan for sending ricin letters to President Obama and New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Luckily, there are people that look into threats made against the president, and they figured out that, in fact, it was not Nathan, but Shannon Richardson who sent the threats, blah, blah, blahing about gun rights. Sigh. That is so 2012. Her letter read, quote, "You will have to kill me and my family before you get my guns. Guns are good for America. Anyone who wants to come to my house will get shot in the face. The right to bear arms is my constitutional, God-given right, and I will exercise that right till the day I die or am dragged out of my house." Anyway, she's a nutbag that thinks God wrote the Constitution, so they hauled her out of her Arkansas house Friday and off to the loony bin. Friday was big on Google for the biggest jerk of the week, the dude that went on a shooting rampage in Santa Monica, California, killing four others before getting capped by cops himself. Pin your ears back for this bit of hard-hitting journalism. The LA Times thinks he might have been mentally disturbed. I'd say that's an astute assertion if ever I heard one. The details of this rampage, including the gunman killing members of his own family and setting fire to a house on National Donut Day of all days, would seem to be a fitting companion piece to the Shannon Richardson is nuts for guns story. And yet, the site where I first found the story listed under related items this headline, "Kim Kardashian's swollen feet scream for help." On Saturday, June 8th, Google was aflutter with searches for Serena Williams, the American tennis player that just won the French Open. She's the fourth woman, after Martina Navratilova, Chris Evert, and Steffi Graf, to win each Grand Slam tournament at least twice, and I want you to know that as I'm saying that, I have no idea what that means. But she's a big deal. In finding out more about Serena Williams, I came to discover this. She has enormous biceps. Her racket-swinging sister, Venus, less so. My advice, then, to Venus Williams, the failure of the family, would be this. Eat more steroids. The top Twitter trend on Sunday, June 9th, are related hashtags, if you can believe it. Specifically, hashtag FollowMeFredo and hashtag AskFredo. Now, this struck me as a strange way to communicate with Samwise Gamgee, and truth be told, I did not think hobbits used Twitter. Upon further investigation, I discovered this discussion contained no mentions of orcs or the Fellowship of the Ring, but instead, lots of tweens tweeting about Justin Bieber's photographer friend, Alfredo Flores. After reading some of his tweets, I briefly considered casting Alfredo into Mount Doom at Mordor. Orlando Bloom has not returned my texts. Lastly, trending all month long, right up to and including this very moment, is the Twitter hashtag, Five Songs That Make Me Cry. Reading this did indeed bring a tear to my eye. Where to begin? How about with you, at Dev Loomba? There is no song called Who's Gonna Drive You Home Tonight by The Cars, but the answer is in there. At AlainiDill175, I think you'll find that Pink Floyd's ode to Syd Barrett is not Wish You Were Year, but rather Wish You Were Here. And at Restero, well, Everyone Hurts is a fine premise. The REM song you're referencing is actually Everybody Hurts. A Twitter user actually mentioned My Cousin Dupree by Steely Dan, which is a song about incest. And for this reason, I hope the crying being done is on a therapist's couch. There are several songs that make me cry. They're all by Justin Bieber or the Four Non Blondes. And what I cry is this. Oh, the humanity. Also, in the interest of full disclosure, Celine Dion crooning about the Titanic gives me weirdies in my belly. This is everything you need to know, loyal trendies, and all of it is absolutely true, except the parts I made up. Next week on the program, I'll be joined by a new cup of Starbucks, as this one has gone cold. I've got to throw it away now. For Mike Quackenbush, I've been Mike Quackenbush. Adios.